the spirit of fear. But God has given us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. This is not a time to be wishy-washy in the spirit world around us. The wicked run away when nobody's even chasing them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen? In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, we are told this here, that we should come enter boldly into the throne room of God, boldly, like we were who he says we are. Who does he say we are? He says that we're his sons and his daughters. Enter boldly into the throne room of grace that you might find help in time of need. So remember that as you go to the Lord in prayer. It's so good to be here. We have prepared and prepared this day, and we're so glad that you're here. Thank you for coming out. We've got some good things planned for you. Don't leave here without getting some of this delicious, delicious, fresh produce and food that we have. Amen? Well, I want to read out of the book of John chapter 3. I'd like to start there and speak on a subject that has been on my heart now for about a month. So I'm going to start reading from John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Father, in Jesus' name, be with us this evening as the word is unfolded. Help me to unfold this word in a manner that it can be gobbled up by the children of God. Everyone said amen. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus had a seeing problem. He came by night. He didn't want to be noticed that he came. He was very high up in the priesthood. But he was intrigued by Jesus, so he came by night, and he wanted to find some things out from Jesus. And what he was wanting to know is where did you come from? How did you get? We know that there's something supernatural and wonderful and special about you, because we've never seen anybody else do these miracles. We've never seen anybody take a little boy's lunch and feed 5,000 people before. We've never seen a sick woman crawl up to somebody and touch the hem of his garment and be healed instantly. We've never seen that before. And Jesus said what he said to him, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And that idea here is this. Unless you're born again, you cannot perceive spiritual things correctly. The first time I heard this expression, born again, I was about 17 and a half years old. I was with a bunch of kids. A guy that I worked with was a youth pastor. I didn't know what all that. He says, man, we're going to have a meeting. There's going to be girls there, and it's going to be fun. I said, man, I'll be glad to go. And I remember sitting out in front in the evening there in San Jose, California, with my guitar. And this girl said something to me. She said, hey, man, are you born again? And when she said that to me, I don't ever remember hearing that before. I grew up in one of the largest cities in America. We attended church once or twice a year, but the church that we attended did not talk about being born again. I don't even remember what I said, but I can remember telling Kenny as he was driving me home, I said, Kenny, I don't think this is for me. I don't know what this is. And I came, and he said, well, Angelo, thank you for coming anyway. And I'd like to speak to you about being born again tonight. The second time I heard that I must be born again, I was 19 years old at my mother's kitchen table in San Jose, California. And after the person witnessed to me, I prayed and I became born again. I had no idea what that meant. And I think in a large degree, there's some question. What does it mean to be born again? What is that? What does it mean? Well, let me take you to the garden. In the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, the early chapters, there were some trees in the garden that were special. One of them was the tree of life. The other one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord said to Adam, you can eat of any of the trees in the garden, including the tree of life. But the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you may not eat it. The day that you eat it, you will surely die. Let me tell you something about Adam and Eve before the fall. Because there was a fall. They ate of that tree. They weren't supposed to. And when they did, they began to die. See, Adam and Eve did not have to ever, ever die. They could have ate of the tree of life. The Lord banished them, saying to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they said, lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever in this fallen, sinful state. So they banished them out of the Garden of Eden. The first thing that happened to Adam and Eve when they ate of that wrong tree that they weren't supposed to eat of is they noticed that they were naked. They were reduced. There was a metamorphosis, a change that came over them. All of a sudden, they were reduced to their five senses, what they could see, hear, feel, taste, or smell. They were reduced to that. They didn't live like that before, but they were reduced to that. And that was the fallen state of man. And at that moment that they ate, they began to die. Now, they lived hundreds of years, but they could have lived forever. Now, we are all descendants of the fall. Every one of us, we are born in need of another birth, born in need of a renewal, and we are born lost. We are born in need of a Savior. And when we're born, basically, we get around by what we can see, hear, feel, taste, or smell. We're creatures no better than any living creature on the planet. We're reduced to just our senses. That's how we get our information. That's how we travel from here to there. And we fail a lot. Now, in the course of time, Jesus came and he told them of the new covenant. It was the covenant of the new birth. It was the covenant of you could be born again. He was going to die for our sins. We were going to become born again. And when people are born again, they suffer a change. They receive a change. They become different. I'll never forget the day I was born again. I'm going to take the next few minutes and give you as much of this as I can, because there is no greater issue in the church. It's all about being born again, number one. That's the first thing that you have to do. And if you're not going to a church that teaches that you need to be born again, you need to go to a different church. You need to be born again. You cannot see the kingdom. You can't perceive spiritual things correctly unless you're born again. And then do a few other things. Now, Let me just read a little further here. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "Goodness gracious, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" But Jesus tried to help him. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit," that water speaking of the water baptism, which is important in salvation, "and of the Spirit," what mankind needs is a spiritual rebirth. And this time he said he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The first time he said you can't even see it or perceive it. The second time he said this, unless you're born again, you cannot walk in the kingdom of God. A person on this planet, how many of you here have been born again? You're blood bought by the Lamb of God. See, you're in the kingdom of God right now. You can flow in the kingdom if you're taught properly how to flow, how to pray, how to avoid certain things, how to embrace certain things, how to live full of power and grace and mercy. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wants to, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it came from and where it's going. So is every person that is born by the Spirit. In Romans 8:14, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So we must be born again. It's what, and then you can be a Pentecostal. You can be a Catholic. You can be Assembly of God. You can be Baptist. Wherever you feel led, because the Word says this. Now, God himself has placed each person in the church, in the body, as it pleases him. And for everybody that becomes born again, God has a place for you to worship. That's what the Word teaches us. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about being born again. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to look at one verse there. We're going to look at verse 9. And I'm going to talk to you about a very important seed. If you've been born again, if you've truly been born again, this seed has been put inside of you. It's been put and attached to your spirit. Man is a spirit made in the image of God. God is a spirit. In John chapter 4, that's what God told the woman at the well. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In 1 John 3:9, the word says this. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed, everybody say his seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, let me share something with you. When that seed is inside of you, it begins to grow. And can you still flub up? Yeah, you can. I can show you a bunch of other verses that say you can. In fact, in this same book, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, this book is written to believers. It says, if you will confess your sins, God is faithful and has a legal right to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of your sins. What's being talked about is clear understood in 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says this, if any person is in Christ, they are becoming a new creation. Old things are beginning to pass away. All things are beginning to be new. And what I knew, that's what happened in my life. I am not perfect. But you should have seen me when I got started. I was a mess. I was demon-possessed. I was suicidal. I was doing everything the kids of my generation were doing, and it wasn't helping me or them. But I became born again. And there's one thing very important about being born again, being a new creation. As newborn babes, 1 Peter 2:2, earnestly seek the first fruits of the milk, the colostrum of the milk of the Word of God, so that you can grow. If you're going to grow as a believer, let me just say it this way. I didn't have anybody have to tell me. I got born again My world changed in a moment. I walked outside. I thought I was high. Everything was so wonderful. I felt so clean. Every burden that was inside of me and on my shoulders was lifted off of me. And I was just in awe of it. And nobody had to tell me. See, babies need to be fed. And Christians, born again Christians, need the Word of God. As newborn babes, you have 1 Peter 2:2 up there? Go ahead and put it up there so you can see it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says this. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. What baby? We have to feed babies of all kinds, don't we? We have to feed them. If they go too long without food, it's not good. As newborn babes, earnestly desire. There was something inside of me. Nobody had to tell me. If you're born again, immediately I had a hunger for the Word of God in my life. And I got me the Living Bible. It was right about the time I got saved. It's called the Living Bible Translation. And I locked myself away in my room for months. And I read that Bible, and that Bible fed me. I read it and read it until that Bible began to read me. It began to teach me right where I was. In Matthew 4 and Luke 4, Jesus tells the devil, man shall not exist and live by bread alone, but by every word, by the word of God, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Anybody that I've ever seen get born again and stay born again, they had that same experience as I did. There's just something, all of a sudden you crave that word. I didn't read it because I had to. I read it because it fed me, because it blessed me, because it read me, it located me. Because you have to feed the seed. Does that make sense? There's a new seed inside of a person that's born again. And it has to be fed, and it has to be fed the right diet. It needs the Word of God. It needs the Word of God. It needs the Word of God in this way. You will become a person that's born again, will eat the Word of God by hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, and obeying and doing the Word of God. It becomes food, and it will make you stronger and stronger and stronger. In 50 years, I would say when I was 19 in the summer, this summer I'm 69, 50 years ago, I got saved, and I've eaten of the Word. It hasn't made me perfect. It's made me nourished. And it's kept me saved. I'm telling you, that's one of the things. Do you have a hunger for that word in your heart? If you don't, I would wonder why. I didn't have a hunger in my heart because I was a preacher. I had a hunger in my heart because I was a brand new child of God. And I was hungry. I was hungry for a new life. I was hungry for a new way. And I found that way in Genesis to the maps of the Bible. Another thing, nobody had to tell me I wanted to go to church. Now God himself, not organized religion or anything else, God himself has placed each member in the body as it pleases him. And I was led to a church, and I was there. I took my wife there, led her to the Lord. She got saved in that church. Why? Well, I could just worship God on my own. That's funny. We're called lambs and sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. And I just have to tell you this about them, honey. Sheep are flock animals. They flow with the flock. The ones that get away from the flock, well, here in Arkansas, the coyotes get them. The wolves get them. Something gets them. It's just there are certain few things that a person will do if they're born again, if they're truly born again. There's one thing, there's just a couple other things I want to say. If you're born again, first of all, have you ever seen a cow born? And I've seen a bunch of them. And the first thing they're looking for is their mama. And they're looking for that bag. They want to get some of that colostrum, some of that first milk. And they get strong and they follow that mom. And that mom teaches them how to graze. That mom teaches them how to follow their mother and do what mother says, so on and so forth. And Christians are flock creatures. They just are. The Lone Ranger, at best, that's a goat. And at the end of the age, Jesus Christ himself will separate the sheep from the goats. Now, the sheep are going into the sheepfold. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. That's where we're going. But the goats and the wolves and the lost, they're going to another place. We don't even want to mention it because we think better of you here. If you're born again, you're becoming a new creation. You will notice change in yourself, and people will notice change in you. And I wouldn't worry about what people notice in you. I would notice what you notice in you and how important it is. You'll have a craving to be in that word. You'll have a craving to be in the flock with other sheep. Another thing, if you're born again, you have the Godhead with you. You have a Father. There's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Everybody agree with the Trinity? Good. You're in good shape if you do. You have a Father. Your Father will love you, correct you, and protect you. He will chastise you. As many as I love, I chastise and discipline and scourge every son, every daughter. And he can't do that if you're constantly running away from him. How many of you have experienced the correction of God on your life? God the Father. Amen. Amen. He corrects everybody that's his children. That's just part of it. Number two, if you were born again, you have a Savior. Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have eternal life. For the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And God is more interested in your life, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of the eternal than he is the temporal. And hence, sometimes we don't understand prayer. We miss in prayer because sometimes we're going to go through things because it's going to make you the person that God wants you to be. And sometimes that's not pleasant, but that happens to everybody's life. Anybody in here born again and your whole life has been nothing but a bowl of cherries and you've been floating down the river on flowery beds of ease? Is that how it's been for you? And that's where people get confused. And that's where faith comes in. If you know God and you have a Savior, his name is Jesus. There's only one Savior for the whole world. It's Jesus Christ. If you are born again, you have a Savior. And his job is to apply his blood to your life. His job is to be your high priest. The Bible says Jesus lives forever to intercede for those who are heir to salvation. He's praying for you regularly, especially when you pray. And when you pray, angels are empowered also. There's so many things that happen in the spirit world, the person that's born again. Finally, Jesus will intercede for you, and Jesus gives you his name. And as often as you use his name correctly and speak to the Father in the name of Jesus, that's how heaven works. That's just how it works. How come? I don't know. I'm not God the Father. I'm not God the Son, and I'm not God the Holy Spirit. Finally, when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. His name in the Greek language is your helper. One called alongside of you to help you in this life. He will dwell in you. He will teach you from the inside out. He will guide you, and he will empower you if you'll cooperate with him. Many, many times, one time I was going up to Fort Smith. I was just meditating on the Lord. I was just fellowshipping with God. I had my praise and worship music on. And a voice inside of me said, Angelo, pull over right now. I pulled over, and I was right in front of a fireworks stand. It was during 4th of July season. And I thought, well, God, I really wasn't thinking about getting any fireworks. And here comes a Porsche going over 100 miles an hour with Fort Chaffee police behind him. And he swerved right into my lane. He lost control of that car. He hit the ditch, and he flew upside down, I don't know, and he just landed right in front of me. And I looked at that, and the Lord said, Angelo, you did good. You'll do well if you'll be led by my Spirit. And if you'll let God, he will lead you to make right choices. And Christians, they really are sheep, dumb sheep. They make dumb decisions. They do things they shouldn't. And Jesus fixes them. Why does he fix them? Because he loves us. He loves you and me. Anybody in here perfect, and since you said the sinner's prayer, you've never made a mistake? I'm so glad nobody stood up. I didn't want to see if somebody would get struck down here tonight. Because that's not been my experience. What my experience has been is this. Oh, how he loves you and me. Nobody loves you more. Nobody's more interested in your eternal success. And sometimes, let me tell you something. Somebody's hearing me tonight. Sometimes you could be going through something that you don't like. This is where faith and understanding comes in. This is where trusting God comes in. I could tell you this, no storm lasts forever. No trial lasts forever. God will not allow Satan himself to do anything more than what God thinks you can handle. And many times with the temptation, he provides a way of escape where you don't take that wrong road. And when you take it, that's what communion night is all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And before a man takes communion, or a woman, let them examine themselves. Be honest, for God's sakes. You want to grow? Just be honest where you're at in the Lord. We're going to come to the altar or make an altar. Communion is for everybody that wants communion in here. Examine your heart. If there's something wrong that should not be in there, confess it to the Lord. Because he who confesses, if you confess your sin, God is faithful, and he has a legal right in the spirit world to forgive you and blot that sin out and cleanse you and wash you from that sin. Let's take communion. Let's examine our hearts.